From KUER News in Salt Lake City, this is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. It's hard to be definitive when you're talking about public opinion polls. It's also tough to find a straight line in those numbers. But there doesn't seem to be any doubt that the way Utahns were thinking about same-sex marriage back when state lawmakers were debating an amendment to the Constitution barring them in 2004 is much different today, dramatically different. In 2004, 66% of Utahns voted for that amendment. In 2014, the opinion of same-sex marriage is getting close to a 50-50 split. Today in the program, we're talking about those numbers, what they reveal about the way the landscape is shifting in Utah and around the country. Also later on the program, Governor Gary Herbert will join us to explain how he's thinking about the remarkable developments in this story over the last few weeks. Join us after the news.
Hi, this is Elaine Clark, one of the producers of Radio West. Our free podcasts are made possible by KUER's generous listeners. If you're a fan, we hope you'll consider joining them. Become a sustaining member of KUER for as little as $5 a month. Visit us online at KUER.org for details. Thank you.
This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Later today in the program, just after the bottom of the hour, we'll be hearing from Utah Governor Gary Herbert. He's agreed to join us to talk about how he's reflecting on the remarkable turn of events related to same-sex marriage over the last few weeks here in Utah. Of course, first came the ruling last month by a federal judge overturning the state's voter-approved ban on same-sex marriages and other civil partnerships. That sent more than 1,000 couples rushing to county offices around the state to get licenses. Many did the ceremonies there on the premises. Utah officials asked two lower courts to stay the decision. When that didn't work, they were able to get the Supreme Court to put the ruling on hold while they appeal that decision. The next day after the Supreme Court ruled, the governor's office sent a memo to state agencies saying they should not recognize those marriages while the legal issue plays out. So we'll talk to the governor about that decision and, again, how he's reflecting on all of this. First today, we're talking about what seems to be the growing evidence that public opinion has shifted, or anyway is shifting, on the issue of same-sex marriage. And we'd like to hear from you during this first part of the program. How are you thinking about the issue yourself? Have you or those close to you changed your mind? 801-585-WEST is the number. Our email address, radiowest@kuer.org. We'd also like to hear from those of you on Facebook and on Twitter. Brooke Adams is joining us here in the studio. She's, of course, a reporter with the Salt Lake Tribune. She's been covering the federal courts and this particular issue. And Brooke, welcome back. Thanks for being with
Doug.
Us. We also have with us Quinn Monson. He's a founding partner of Y2 Analytics. It's a survey research and data analysis group here in Utah. Joining us today by phone from his office in Provo. Quinn Monson, welcome back to you.
Thank you.
And we have Scott Barclay with us as well. He's a public policy scholar at the Williams Institute at UCLA, where he researches public opinion about LGBT issues. He's joining us from a studio on the campus of UCLA. And Scott Barclay, welcome to you. Thanks for being with us.
Glad to be here.
Well, I wanted to go back, Brooke. I want to start, I want to talk a little bit about the article you wrote, which sort of lays out the trajectory of this issue in terms of public opinion. Let's go back to 2004. That's a crucial time, of course, because this is when the state was debating and ultimately passed this amendment to the Constitution, Amendment 3, banning not just same-sex marriages, but it also banned, and this is what makes Utah unique, I guess, and we should say this from the out, it wasn't just same-sex marriages, it was also civil.
Right, civil unions. Domestic partnerships or anything that put a legal recognition on same-sex marriage.
Right.
Right.
How were Utahns thinking about it at the time? This is 10 years ago now.
Yeah, at the time. So to put it in a little bit of context, if I have my facts right here, Massachusetts had just legalized same-sex marriage. And so Utah was among a number of states passing constitutional amendments to bar that from happening here on their home territory. So, you know, they were very similar efforts across many states at the time. And the sentiment against same-sex marriage in 2004 was quite strong. It was approved by 66% of the voters who went to the polls in 2004 in what was a presidential general election. So the turnout was about 74% of registered voters, and it passed by, you know, a strong margin.
Yeah. It was sort of one of those things that seemed like kind of a slam dunk
right.
at the time.
Yes.
We should... I should mention, people may remember Chris Butters, State Senator Chris Butters. He was one of those, pretty
right.
vociferous about the issue, leading the way.
Yeah, and LeVar Christensen, who is still in the legislature here in Utah, he in particular co-authored the amendment and carried it in the legislature here. And, in fact, some of his comments were introduced as evidence. Filings in the case here in Utah that was just decided in December.
Yeah. So, which brings us now to today, although we're going to talk about that time in between, just it seems like the pace of change seems remarkable, but let's talk about the results from the opinion survey that was published a few days ago. It shows that residents, I guess it seems like they're evenly split, that we're talking 48% to 48%.
Right. And so, you know, not a majority on either side of that. But, I think that's about a 10 or 27% drop from the 2004 voter election turnout or decision on Amendment 3 to get to 48%, either for or against same-sex marriage here in Utah. And we weren't sure, you know, we had a sense when we did the poll that opinion had shifted over the past decade. Of course, same-sex marriage has been adopted in a number of states. There were 9 states that allowed such unions as of this summer when the Supreme Court issued its 2 landmark decisions. And then since then, another, let's see now, 6, because you have to take Utah back off that list here now. So we're up to 17 states. So, you know, and other polls, Pew, some here locally, have shown a shift in public opinion, and we found it happened too.
I guess this was no surprise. The poll found that support for same-sex marriage was strongest among younger people and non-Mormons, I guess. That's a sort of knee-jerk presumption.
Right. Let me give you a little bit of information on that. So among people 18 to 34, 56% said that same-sex couples should be allowed to get state-issued marriage licenses. So overall, the number was 48 in favor of that. But among people 18 to 34, the number was 56%. So, you know, quite strong there.
What did you learn about the LDS population in terms of the way they're thinking?
Yeah, the LDS population, when you look at those, so only 32% of Mormons said yes on this marriage issue.
That they would support same-sex marriage.
Right. But 65% of Mormons, and this was a surprise to us, said that they were in favor of civil unions or domestic partnerships. Overall, that number among the people we polled in the state, the support for civil unions or domestic partnerships was 72%. And among Mormons that participated in our poll, 65% favored those sorts of relationships.
Do you get any sense? I'm going to bring Scott and Quinn in here in just a moment because I want to get them to sort of react to not just these particular numbers, but the general sense of all of this. But do you get any sense from the numbers that you've seen about Utah, when a shift may have started to occur? Do you have any sense of that?
You know, we don't. One of the questions we asked was whether the respondents' views about same-sex marriage or homosexuality had changed over time. We did not want to tie it specifically to 2004 and whether they'd voted on Amendment 3 because our poll was not just registered voters. It was a, you know, open poll. So, we wanted to find out, and we asked that question, and about a little over a third of people said their view had changed, and the majority of people who said their view had changed said it had become more accepting and favorable. So, you know, I did ask people when I called to interview them about what, and it seemed to be tied to knowing someone, having a family member or a relative or a friend who was gay or lesbian, had helped them become more accepting.
I want to get back to that issue, this idea of people being personally connected to the issue, because that's something that Scott Barkley talks about. But let's, Quinn Monson, let me get you to respond to what, if not this particular poll, which we can talk about, but in general, what are you seeing about the trend or the change in the way people are thinking from that time in 2004 to today?
Well, there has been certainly has been change in attitudes in Utah, and it's really quite dependent on the context of the question, how you ask it. There's been a lot of movement toward being in favor of civil unions, but I think a lot less movement on the question of gay marriage. And what's interesting to me is that it is dependent a little bit on how the question is asked and what options are given. So I'd be careful to about overstating the movement in the last couple of years, but I would agree that there has clearly been a substantial movement since 2004, since Amendment 3 passed, but most of that movement has been toward favoring civil unions and not as much toward favoring gay marriage.
Scott Barclay, what do you think about just sort of just in a general sense, what's the line you're seeing? What's the movement you're noticing here?
So we've looked at both national polls and also polls in the 50 states and been looking at them for the period from the early 1970s onward. And we're definitely seeing an increase in the last couple of years over the rate of support for marriage generally. We've noticed since about 2004, states have averaged about a 1.7% increase in support for marriage. But some states are moving as quickly as 2.6%. So this is a fairly rapid change in people's perspectives. Back in 2004, when people thought about this, they originally thought, they looked at young people, they saw they were more supportive, and they thought it would take the time of that generation to move through with their supportive ideas for this issue to really change. And what they're instead finding is what Brooke found, which is that people are changing their attitudes over the last decade on this issue, and most are changing in a favorable direction.
And we're talking about an older generation. They're not waiting for the younger generation to sort of take over. Younger people are changing their minds as well.
Correct. The original assumption had been that older people had very fixed opinions, and what we're finding instead is that they're being influenced by conversations with their children, by conversations with their peers, and by the general conversation going on in society. And I think the more people have discussed it, the more people have actually changed it. There's also another component going on here that you see in Utah is when people see the marriages are celebrations. It's hard not to be caught up in the celebration itself, and that actually influences how people think about the issue.
Wait, so what you're saying, so the television reports, the viral videos that have gone out, the Facebook images, the Twitter images of people down at county offices getting married, the sort of jubilation, you think that's going to have a kind of compounding impact on this issue?
We do find that in states where they've introduced marriage, even for a short period of time, and we saw this in California as well, is that marriage, the side of the marriages, the reporting in the local press, actually lets people see real faces, real individuals, identify their neighbors, identify people that they think of as similar to them. And that actually transforms the opinion much more quickly. So in states where there has been either marriage or civil unions, opinion is moving slightly faster because people are taking it on board quicker.
Judd, can I cut in there?
Of course.
Quinn? I just want to raise the possibility that I think that's probably right for most people. I think that there's a possibility, though, that the sort of humanizing effect of watching somebody you know or seeing photos of somebody you know who's gay get married, for people who are sort of on the fence or favor civil unions or sort of thought about the issue but have hesitated expressing support for gay marriage, that might be very well the case. It's also possible that for people that have really strong opinions against gay marriage, that seeing photos or experiencing that might actually harden their attitudes in the opposite direction. There could be kind of a backlash. So I think it probably has the effect of accelerating attitudes in favor of gay marriage for most people. But there is a subset that it probably sends them in the opposite direction. We've seen this very thing and tested it pretty carefully on the issue of immigration, for example, that humanizing illegal immigrants, for most people, it helps them to see them more favorably and to have compassion and empathy. But for some people, it doesn't do that at all, and it sends them in the opposite direction. They respond in a way that's unexpected.
Which, so I guess the point being, Quinn, is that there is that portion that they're just sort of, they're stuck there. This is where they're going to stay there, and their ideas are kind of hardened. They're not movable.
Yeah. And I think one of the interesting things to think about moving back in time to 2004 is whatever decision was made in terms of how Amendment 3 was written, to tie it not only to marriage but to any kind of legal recognition is interesting, because in the light of what Brooke talked about it, you might actually have a situation where it would have been better in hindsight for opponents of gay marriage to have limited that amendment to marriage only, given the way that public opinion has shifted. Because you do have a large majority of Utahns in favor of some sort of legal recognition. When you add gay marriage together with civil unions, it's clear. But you've got this constitutional amendment that prohibits any kind of legal recognition. And I think on the opposite side, you also still, I think, have close to a majority in the Tribune poll and other polls that you know, it's kind of a borderline now about whether people favor marriage or not. It's an open question as to whether or not if Amendment 3 were on the ballot and you stripped out the provisions banning civil unions and other legal recognition and just limited it to marriage, whether or not it would pass now. I think if it were on the ballot in the same form as 2004, it probably wouldn't. But it's an interesting question that we'll have to investigate.
Scott Barkley, you've said that in some ways accepting civil unions or domestic partnerships has in some way become the adopted position, even of those who are very conservative on this issue.
In fact, the Utah polling results were somewhat surprising, because in most states what you see is that there's been a decline in support for no legal recognition and a decline in support for civil unions, and most of that group has moved into the marriage category. And so in Utah you see actually what is somewhat being reflected nationally, which is the most conservative individuals and especially Republican-identifying conservative individuals moving into civil unions as the default category. And I did notice also that Mormons, LDS members in Utah, were identifying civil unions as an acceptable category. But in most other states, civil unions are sort of becoming the default no against marriage.
That's remarkable. Brooke, talk about that. 65% of the LDS respondents in that poll, of your poll anyway, said they were supportive of civil unions or domestic partnerships.
Right, and I might just follow up what Scott was saying. In our poll, 30% of Republicans said yes to same-sex marriage, but 64% of Republicans said yes to civil unions. So I think that illustrates what Scott is talking about there, about the conservative fallback position at the moment.
Quinn Monson, what do we know? What are we learning about the LDS position on all of this? You've got, at least according to, I'm wondering what the polling that you're seeing is telling you about the LDS population and how they're thinking about this. 65%, as we mentioned, according to the Salt Lake Tribune poll, said that they would be supportive of civil unions or domestic partnerships. Is that shifting? Is that changing?
Yeah, it is. It reflects the overall trends in Utah. I mean, Utah's heavily LDS, and so when you talk about Utah trends, you're largely talking about trends among Mormons. That trend becomes often more stark when you just look at the subset of survey respondents who identify as LDS, but it reflects the overall trend. In other words, you see not a lot of shift on favoring gay marriage. You see a little bit of movement toward favoring gay marriage, but a lot of movement away from no legal recognition and toward allowing for civil unions. And again, it's important here to remember that it's, you know, questions asked this differently. Survey questions can combine all of these options into one in a way like the New York Times CBS poll does, or you can ask them one by one the way the Tribune poll does. It's a little bit of apples to oranges to try to compare the two. but I don't think the results are that inconsistent with each other. But it's hard to compare earlier poll results that have them all as one option with the Tribune poll that has them as multiple questions over time. You wouldn't want to look back at earlier polls with a different survey question and try to compare them with the Tribune poll with separate questions.
I want to take a quick break, and when we get back, we'll talk about why it is that the landscape seems to be shifting. We mentioned the sort of personal connection. We'll talk a little bit more about that when we get back from a break. Brooke Adams is with us, reporter for the Salt Lake Tribune, Quinn Monson, founding partner of the survey group Y2 Analytics, and Scott Barkley with us, a scholar at the Williams Institute at UCLA. We'll take a quick break. Back in a moment. You're listening to Radio West on KUER. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. A little bit later on the program, Governor Gary Herbert is going to join us to talk about Utah and same-sex marriage, getting him to reflect on the events of the last few weeks, this remarkable ruling that overturned the state's gay marriage ban. We're also talking at this part of the program, though, about how Utahns are thinking about all of this and those around the country as well. There seems to be some shifting of public opinion going on. And Brooke Adams with us, a reporter for the Salt Lake Tribune. Quinn Monson, a founding partner of the survey group Y2 Analytics. Scott Barkley, a scholar at UCLA, the Williams Institute there. Scott Barkley, I wanted to come to you on this question of that as a number of states have now adopted these same-sex marriage laws, that a lot of people are saying that nothing really changed, that there wasn't this change in social norms, that the end of the world didn't come. Some sort of we're talking about, and this sort of influenced how people were thinking that nothing really changed, so maybe it's not so bad. Am I reading that right?
Correct. I think that it's been increasingly part of the idea of why the states are changing faster in the last few years has been that people have seen in a growing number of states that there are marriages, there is same-sex marriage as part of the law, and the society moves on much as it did before. I think they've also realized that, as you saw in Utah, there's been a build-up of long-term committed gay couples who are out there whether they're being recognized or not. So as happened in Utah when the recent decision came down, lots of couples showed up and we learned that they had had long-term relationships, that they'd been committed for a long time and were incredibly eager to get married. And I think seeing those images repeated many times over the last decade has had an influence. But I also think there was another factor going on, which is the conversation itself encouraged a lot of people to out themselves to colleagues, co-workers, friends, acquaintances. And that experience and those conversations that went with the outing actually transformed a lot of people's opinion on this issue.
Is this how culture works? Do we know? You know, it begins slowly and then a wave kind of really picks up and you get this kind of growth, the wave grows?
Well, I think what we've seen in the past is that this is in some ways, even though it's been occurring since the 1970s that this issue has been around, this is a very quick activity in the last decade. So it's moving quicker than people had seen with the women's rights movement or even with interracial marriage as it related to the civil rights movement. But I do think in some ways there's new media forms that allow people to see much more of it. And the conversation itself has been happening at multiple levels, in families, in communities, and in states, and at the national level at the same time. And that's built up sort of like a tipping point now where people are seeing it happening at all levels.
Quinn Monson, I wanted to get you on that. I guess it's harder to measure, as a numbers guy, it's probably harder to measure motivation and how people are thinking about this. But what can you say about why it is people seem to be changing their minds about this issue?
Well, I think Scott is onto something, and it's pretty well established sociology. It's sometimes it's called the contact hypothesis. The more contact people have with an out group, what we call an out group, the more likely they are to be more accepting and friendly and change attitudes. And I think the fact that we have a growing population in Utah of gays and lesbians who are more open about it and open with their families and friends, that I think that certainly affects attitudes. I want to add, though, that I think Utah is a really interesting context to study public opinion on this issue, because maybe with the exception of Iowa, or now, you know, that just barely happened in Oklahoma, Utah is an example of a very conservative state that has legalized gay marriage, if not, you know, just recently. And so you've got this conservative context where I don't think we had overwhelming public opinion in favor of gay marriage at the time of the change, where in all the other states, I think public opinion led the legislature or led the courts to lead out in ways that are less surprising. And then the other nugget here is that the church in Utah, the LDS Church, provides an interesting backdrop. You have so many Latter-day Saints in the population, and the church has maintained a stance of opposition to gay marriage pretty firmly, but at the same time, they've been open on other things. So they've expressed openness to and endorsed the non-discrimination ordinance mm-hmm. in Salt Lake City. Yeah. I think they've even made some statements that have sort of said we wouldn't stand in the way of civil unions necessarily. It's been less publicized, but I think it's out there that they draw a line at marriage, but are trying to be accepting or at least understanding in other ways. And that, I don't think you have a context in the rest of the country that has those kinds of dynamics with a conservative population and an important statewide institution that has taken a stance against marriage but has otherwise been tried to be at least friendly. And so that provides a lot of opportunity to think about, well, could Utah have civil unions? Could Utah have a non-discrimination law statewide? And I think those are all things that the public, a majority of the public, would accept at this point.
I want to get to Scott on this. But, Brooke, let me ask you, though, the reaction to Oklahoma. That's everyone was thinking, oh, it could never happen in Utah, and then all of a sudden even a more conservative place like Oklahoma.
Right. I think Oklahoma is referred to as the buckle of the Bible Belt, right? So very conservative state. And they, in fact, passed their constitutional amendment in 2004, and it was approved there by a bigger margin than in Utah. It was approved by 76% of the voters in Oklahoma to bar same-sex marriage. So, you know, to me, it was fascinating to read the judge's decision in the Oklahoma case, because it so paralleled, and the arguments that were raised there so paralleled Utah's case that Judge Shelby ruled on December 20th. And, in fact, the judge in Oklahoma quoted and referred to Shelby's ruling. So, you know, very similar. And as of yesterday, the Attorney General of Oklahoma has said, apparently, they're not going to appeal that. They're going to watch and wait and see what happens with the Utah appeal before the Tenth Circuit Court of Appeals and then probably the Supreme Court. So fascinating there.
Scott Barkley, what do you think about where Utah fits in all of this? I mean, you know, the presumption is that it's just this red state, but as Quinn Monson pointed out, maybe there's more nuance to it than that.
I think there's a lot more nuance occurring. And I will point out that states in a similar region are moving in the direction of marriage equality, including New Mexico. One thing I would note is that there are currently 29 states with constitutional amendments, and as the majorities in those states move over towards marriage equality, I think you're going to find courts increasingly stepping in to solve that disjuncture between where the population is at and where the constitutional position is at. I would note with both Oklahoma and Utah that the assumption is that all states will have a majority within 20 years, and both of those states, Utah and Oklahoma, had restrictions not only on marriage but on civil unions. And I think, as you see in the surveys reported today, there's no longer popular support at all for complete non-legal recognition. So I think judges are now being encouraged by the fact that the population wants to see some form of legal recognition, and they're starting to think of these constitutional amendments as problematic, especially as states are having trouble coming up with justifications.
Mm. That's Scott Barclay, scholar at the Williams Institute at UCLA, Quinn Monson, founding partner at the survey group Y2 Analytics, Brooke Adams, of course, reporter for the Salt Lake Tribune. Thank you all very much for being with us. We've been waiting for the phone call from the governor, and he's there, and so we're going to talk to Governor Gary Herbert when we get back from a break. You're listening to Radio West on KUER. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Today on the program, Governor Gary Herbert is joining us to talk about Utah and same-sex marriage. We asked him to reflect on the events of the last few weeks, and the governor's joining us today from his office here in Salt Lake City. And Governor Gary Herbert, welcome. Thanks very much for being with us.
Well, thank you, Doug. It's an honor to be with you, as always.
So I wanted to ask you, first of all, how did you react? I wanted to get your gut reaction, Governor, to when you learned of the ruling by Judge Shelby.
Well, like most people, I was surprised. The indications had been up to that day that there was going to be ongoing discussion. They'd actually had a date set for January 7th to have ongoing discussion and argument. And I think everybody on all sides of the issue was surprised that on a Friday afternoon, just before Christmas, that he issued this significant change in our laws. And so I was surprised. And
were you angry?
Angry would probably be too strong. I think I was disappointed. It would seem to me that he was, you know, going contrary to what the indications he'd made in court with the plaintiffs and the defendants. And to do it on a Friday afternoon, just before Christmas, showed a little bit of activism and a lack of respect for the people of Utah and what they put into their Constitution. This is a significant milestone. This is certainly a landmark case and could be become more significant as it works its way through all the way to the Supreme Court. So I was disappointed about that and became more disappointed in him not issuing a stay. He is the judge, and he's tried to deflect that criticism by saying, "Well, the state, you know, didn't ask for it. We were notified by email, and within 30 minutes of the email, the Attorney General's office did contact the court. Was only able to talk to the clerk. Wasn't able to talk to the judge. He's the adult in the room here in the courtroom and should be using some judgment and wisdom." And it's caused a lot of confusion, and we understand that, I think everybody. And I certainly have empathy for those caught in the middle, for those same-sex couples that really saying, well, what are the rules? What are the laws? Where are we at? And what's taking place? And so it would have been a lot wiser, I think, on the judge's part to issue a stay until this plays out and it's completed. It's not right to probably ask to stop the process now. It's like playing a baseball game and saying, let's quit after the fourth or fifth inning. We're ahead. Let's not play the other innings. That's not good for anybody on any side of this. This really does need to go through to completion.
Yeah.
And it should be played out. We'll see where it goes.
You decided, Governor, the state would not recognize the marriages of same-sex couples while the state makes this appeal. It's one thing to stop performing the marriages, which would make some sense. It's another thing to ask the state to stop recognizing the marriages. And as you know, you've heard a lot of feelings. Maybe that's even putting it lightly, putting same-sex couples who have been married now in very difficult positions with all kinds of different things. And I'm wondering why it is you made that decision. Was this a legal decision? I mean, why did you decide to do that?
Yes, this absolutely is based on the law. We believe in the rule of law. When Shelby made his decision, that disappointed a lot of people too. But we followed the law. It's not any secret. I mean, people rushed down to get married because they knew that the potential for a stay was coming. And so we applied for the stay. We were denied by Shelby and by the Tenth Circuit, but the Supreme Court, in fact, did implement the stay. The stay means you go back to the previous law before the Shelby decision. So, again, I make no moral pronouncements on this. I'm not the religious leader of the state. This has nothing to do with that. This only has to do with following the law. And with the stay in place, we had no choice but to go back. And that's certainly advice of the Attorney General's office, who is the state's attorney, and said that we now go back to this previous position. We've taken no position on the validity of marriages performed if, in fact, it could be overturned by the Supreme Court. You know, there's kind of this limbo state, so we don't know. We're kind of an uncharted territory. Again, I recognize the challenge and the confusion that's occurred because of this. That's, again, why we wanted to have a stay. But we will follow the law, and that's what we're attempting to do. I personally believe this is a state right issue, and that the states historically have been those who determined the definition of marriage and the laws and the rules and regulations that, that surround marriage. That seems to be the essence of the defense of marriage case. Even when the Supreme Court overturned the defense of marriage case, it was based on the federal government overreaching and telling states what they had to do and how they would define marriage. So we're doing this basically only to follow the law.
But to the idea that people feel it was that you kind of pulled the rug out from under them, that, you know, they're going to have difficult times with, you know, by freezing it, those who had changed their names, for example, on driver's licenses before all of this happened, that was in play. But then you freeze that for others who are in sort of mid-process, and some regarded it as kind of cruel on the state's part. I wanted to get you to react to that.
Well, again, I understand the disappointment and the confusion. But that's what a stay does. You know, the argument's not with me. Maybe the argument is in that we're following the law. And we had people that said to the governor, hey, forget Shelby. You know, just do what we want to do as a state, because we're going to stand against the Shelby decision. So they were upset that I followed the law then. And people now with the stay in place are upset that I'm following the law on the stay. And it does put these people in an awkward position. And it really does freeze it. It goes back to the Amendment 3. Frankly, you can interpret it to say that these marriages should be voided. We're not doing that. We're not voiding the marriages. We're just saying that things freeze in place as of the day of the stay. What has happened before that has happened, but we cannot go forward anymore. We're not going to unwind anything, but we're not going to go forward either.
Yeah.
Those who are in place at that time and whatever they've done stand, but no more going forward. But, for example, I know that today the State Tax Commission just issued that people can file for a joint tax return. If you're married on December 31st, that holds true. Same-sex couples can apply as a married couple for state tax purposes if they were married on or before December 31st or before this, December 31st, which is the day that we need to recognize for tax purposes.
Well,
if you got married on January 1st, it won't work because you were single on December 31st.
What was that you're doing?
That's our state tax mission. Again, following the law.
Right.
That's what we've asked our cabinet members to do, all of our departments, is you follow the law.
But surely
there's federal laws out there and there are state laws, but our state departments will follow the state law as they're required to.
Yeah. Governor, I wonder how strongly do you feel, how committed are you to this idea of keeping same-sex couples from being married? I mean, is it worth, for example, the $2 million that Attorney General Sean Reyes has suggested this may cost? Is it worth spending that much money? Is it worth devoting all the resources to it, do you think?
I think it is. This is a significant case which will determine not only what happens in Utah, but could determine what's going to happen in the nation. You want to have the best and brightest people on all sides of this issue arguing the case. We have a federal judge for the first time in our state, in our country's history, has determined under the U.S. Constitution there is a right of marriage for same-sex couples. That's a significant landmark case that needs to be argued. And again, we know, and I think everybody out there would say, if Shelby had decided for the state of Utah, it would have been appealed to the Tenth Circuit Court by the plaintiffs. There should be no surprise that this is going to be appealed on no matter what happens. It goes to Tenth Circuit Court, and no matter what happens, it will be appealed to the Supreme Court. That's how the process works. It should be fair. It should be complete. And you get to the Supreme Court, it may not, because the Supreme Court is right, as we hear in the law profession all the time, but they are last. And that will settle the situation once and for all. And that's the way it should be settled. Now, I would prefer, by the way, Doug, that it's not settled in court. Kind of quoting, paraphrasing Ruth Bader Ginsburg of the Supreme Court, talking about Roe v. Wade, that she acknowledges that it was not the best way to settle that issue on abortion.
Yeah.
It should have come from the people. And that's the way where people feel buy-in and feel resolution and completeness, that it really is the will of the people, as opposed to some court. In our case, here we have one man, an unelected judge, who has overturned what has been the precedent in history since our state, certainly the marriage definition that we've had for hundreds of years, if not thousands of years. One man has done it, and to say, well, let's just stop. You've clarified that for us, is not right. It's not fair.
Well, it raises the question about the polling numbers that that we're seeing. It's, of course, too early to say there's anything definitive in any of these numbers, but it does seem clear, and we were talking about this earlier on the program, that people are transitioning in the way they're thinking about all of this. I mean, a vast majority now, it seems, are willing to accept civil partnerships, civil unions, domestic partnerships, those kinds of things in a legal way. And the Salt Lake Tribune poll suggests that people are kind of split now, 48% to 48% on this question of same-sex marriage.
Sure.
So what are you noticing in the way people are thinking? Are you seeing that change in a mindset here?
I think that's correct. I think there is a shifting that goes on. I noticed a Gallup poll that just came out here that talks about, compared to the mores that we've had in the past, I'll just use one example. It's not necessarily comparable, but, people living together. It used to be considered an immoral thing to do, and now only 32% of Americans think couples living together without benefit of marriage, heterosexual couples, is immoral. So clearly our mores are changing, how we view the world are changing.
Well, then let me get you to specifically respond to this particular more, not related to people living together, but...
But the question you asked, Doug, was, do I see changes occurring out in the marketplace? The answer is yes.
Yeah, but,
develop policy based on polls.
No, of course, but my question is, you seem to be making a comment on these social mores changing. Are you saying that people's opinions who now suggest that maybe gay marriage might be okay is a bad thing, that this social more is a negative thing from your perspective?
I've made it clear in the very beginning, I make no moral judgments as governor on same-sex marriage. I'm not the religious leader of the state of Utah. I'm the governor. My oath is to uphold the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of Utah. Amendment 3 is part of that Constitution. The people have spoken on this particular issue with a two-thirds majority vote in amending the Constitution and putting Amendment 3 in place. We have an obligation to defend that law that's been put in place through a democratic process that everybody had the chance to participate in just 10 years ago, and we have an obligation to defend that. We'll see where that plays out. That being said, if, in fact, the values and the principles and the view of marriage has changed in Utah, there is, in fact, a democratic process to change that, either through the legislature and your elected representatives who could change the law, or, as was done before, an initiative petition could be put on the ballot, and the people could vote and change Amendment 3 or change it to something else if that's the consensus of the people. That's what ought to happen.
I wanted to get you, what do you anticipate this is headed? I mean, over the long haul, a number of observers are talking about that there's a kind of air of inevitability about this, that it really won't be that long, 3, 4, maybe 5 years when gay marriage is accepted as a practice in the United States. There's Brooke Adams was on our program earlier from the Salt Lake Tribune. She quoted a woman in their public opinion survey in the piece that she wrote, a woman named Dot, who talked about how this is an historical moment, how people can fight it, but it's and even stop it temporarily, she said. But in the long term, this is the direction of it, that this is going to happen. What do you think about that? Is this where it's headed, or do you think that there is a possibility to stop gay marriage?
my crystal ball is probably as foggy as anybody's. I would hate to predict the future, you know, on this, because I don't know where it's going to go. Again, my own political belief is, under the rule of law and the Constitution, is that this is a state right issue. Clearly, in some states right now, we see evidence that their legislature and the people, through due process, have said same-sex marriage ought to be allowed in our state. And I have no problem with that, frankly. If that's Massachusetts or that's California or whatever state, that through their elected representatives or through the will of the people vote to have same-sex marriage, that's fine. What Utah decides to do going forward will remain to be seen. I believe that states should have the right to make those decisions. This is not a federal government responsibility. This is a state right issue. That's going to play out as we see this give and take and back and forth. That's why we have courts. We'll have these ideas challenged. Doesn't mean we can't be people of goodwill. We have different points of view. I find it disappointing that those who have a different point of view than the states throw out pejoratives like we're somehow homophobic bigots. I think that's unfair. It's like the people that say, because I disagree with some of President Obama's policies, that somehow I'm a racist. No, I just disagree with the policy. I like President Obama personally, and I know many people that do. I was just with him yesterday or 2 days ago. But we disagree on things. We have processes, a democratic process through our elected representatives. We have initiative petitions where people can vote. We have court processes where things can be challenged. That's all healthy and good. And I'm prepared to live with whatever the outcome is if we have due and fair process. And whatever the outcome will be, I'm not prepared to predict. But whatever it is, we'll live under that rule of law.
Let me ask you, we've got just a little bit more than a minute left, and I promised we'll get you out of here at 11:55. Do you get a sense, Governor, you seem fairly committed to not expressing a kind of a moral judgment or an opinion beyond a kind of a political one or a legal one, but this question does come up of what effect, you know, now marriages have happened, same-sex marriages have happened in the state, and a lot of people are saying, you know, the world didn't come to an end, nothing really changed. We made it through. Do you mind saying what you think about that question? What has changed now that there are some? It's up in the air, but some have actually gotten married.
You know, I said a week afterwards when we were with a group of people, a week after the Shelby decision, I says, you know, I don't think anything's changed. You know, people still go about their business, and whether you believe and support it or don't support it, probably opinions haven't changed at all. I think for this, gay community, they feel more of an acceptance. I think this is not as much about rights as it is about acknowledgement and acceptance of a lifestyle that they feel like finally maybe people are appreciating that and recognize same-sex relationships as a part of the normal working of society. And so I think that's what it's more about than anything else. I don't think things change a great deal. People are still living together, live together, doing, going to work. Nothing really much has changed. But it certainly is a historical event. I mean, there's no question this is a pivotal point in America, certainly in Utah history. And we're just in the middle innings of this game, and we'll have to wait and see what plays out as we go through the process. And again, I'm not the religious leader. I'm not making a moral judgment. That's not my responsibility or job. Others can weigh in on that. Mine is to make sure we govern correctly according to the laws of the land and represent the wishes of the people. That's what I plan to do.
Utah Governor Gary Herbert joined us by phone from his office in Salt Lake City. Governor, thank you very much.
Thank you, Doug.
Brooke Adams is back with us here in the studio, and we've got a few minutes left. I wanted to just get you to react to what you're hearing from the governor. I guess nothing new.
No, he's not saying anything new. And, you know, I guess one reaction I have to what he had to say is I wonder if there will be a move to have a new petition, you know, a new referendum.
Well, he did seem to suggest that this ought to be the will of the people. And if so, if
right.
The will of the people has expired based on the way people were thinking in 2004, he seems amenable to the idea of let's maybe rework
it. Adjust to that, right. So I'm curious going forward if he'll be supportive of that. And for example, if 72% of the people, the will of the people right now is in support of civil unions, you know, would he lead out and would he you know, help craft that kind of accommodation. I think the gay community is not in favor of civil unions. They want full marriage rights.
Yeah, yeah.
But so that was interesting to me.
Were you surprised that he wasn't terribly – I mean, he kept saying, I'm not the moral or religious leader of the state. It's my job just to govern.
Yeah.
That's sort of in keeping with the way he has governed, it seems, in some ways. Not terribly provocative in the things that he says.
Right. You know, that's a good firm line that I think he wants to draw in this state, needs to draw in this state, that it's not about religion for him. And given the majority of the state are members of the LDS Church. So I think he's characterizing it correctly, that this could be a landmark case. This could be the tipping point. You know, in the past, states have voted, for example, on segregation and issues like that, and the federal court, the Supreme Court, has had to come in and say, nope, states, you all voted for it, but you got it wrong. And so that is, you know, he says the will of the people, but I also think the judiciary has a role here in helping states get it right.
Well, isn't that what, in essence, what Judge Shelby said, is that this, you can't deprive people by a democratic vote of their constitutional rights?
Right, exactly. You know, that's what you have a right as a state and as a people, but then the individual have rights as well.
So do you get a sense, just finally, then maybe this is going to, we're not going to just settle for this one set Amendment 3, that there may be more movement, some adjusting by state. I mean, I didn't ask him that question, but I wonder if state leaders are thinking about that.
Yeah, and so far you only see one thing in the upcoming session of this amendment that would allow religious institutions and leaders a carve-out for them where they don't need to participate in marriages that they don't support or believe in. I haven't yet seen any other bills. I looked just the other day at the proposed bill files, but I imagine there may be more. There may be more. So,
Brooke Adams, reporter for the Salt Lake Tribune. Brooke, thanks very
You're welcome.
Much for being with us. We were inundated by all kinds of comments, and I encourage you, forgive me for not getting to any of them. We had to get to the governor, but I encourage you to go to our website and just continue the conversation. Radio West is a production of KUER News, the program produced by Elaine Clark and Benjamin Bombard. I'm Doug Fabrizio.